Scripture reading today is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love in which he loved us, and when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord. As I noted, I had class yesterday, and so it's always kind of a hectic week for me when I have ministry classes like that. I have usually some papers to write and things like that, and I'm there all day long, and I'm just a little bit usually out of sorts after that. So today I'm going to be talking about prevenient grace, and we talked a lot about that yesterday in our ministry class, because it is something that Wesley really emphasized and talked about quite a bit in his ministry, about this prevenient grace, or this grace that goes before. Now, I know y'all been studying this book here, Restored, Finding Redemption in Our Mess, by Tom Berlin. And in last week's session, I talked about some of the mess that we find ourselves in from time to time, and quite often it seems to be all the time in life. And sometimes those messes we bring on ourselves through actions that are disobedient to God. Sometimes others or things that go on around us bring a mess into our lives, and we have to deal with that and work through that. And sometimes, things just happen, in our lives that we just, we set out to do something and it just doesn't work out right. One of the things, I had the grand idea to change the brakes on my pickup this week. Should be simple. It wasn't simple. It was not simple. I'm out there, I'm going, I'm frustrated. How do I, I'm watching YouTube videos. I'm just not getting it. And I had to call my brother, and he said, do this. And like 5 seconds later, I'm done. So I spent 2 hours. I should have just called him and let him help me out there. But those things come up in life. They're the mess in life that come up, and they pop up, and they get us off track. Sometimes they get us frustrated. Those things come about like that. So that's kind of why I decided to read this text here from Ephesians today, because Paul kind of talks about both things. He kind of talks about what we went over last week, and then he starts talking about what y'all been studying this week. So it kind of brings those two together. So at the beginning of this text here, Paul is brutally honest about the situation that we find ourselves in. And he would agree with the assessment that I have here, that sometimes others can bring about a mess in our lives when we're just kind of not doing anything and just sort of comes upon our lives. He would say, yes, that happens. Sometimes things just happen in life, hailstorms, brakes not going on properly, or whatever it may be. Those things happen in life. Paul would say, yes, those things happen. But Paul is saying here today, let's have a little reality check here, people. More often than not, we're bringing this on ourselves. That's where it falls into. And Paul's being honest about that. He's saying, that's how it is. We're bringing a lot of this stuff on ourselves. More often than not, the mess in our lives, we've probably brought a lot of that on ourselves. That's what Paul's saying. He's honest about that. And sometimes I think that honesty is good. In the first three verses here today, Paul describes the mess using three images. He says, first of all, we're kind of like a corpse. That's kind of not good, but that's what he says we're like. He says, we are dead through the trespasses of sin. He says this kind of in the past tense because that's how you once were. That's what he says, how you once were. We were dead in our trespasses, kind of like a corpse. And, you know, that's how it is. You are dead to sin. And he uses that language elsewhere. He also says, in a way, that we were kind of slaves to sin, meaning that we followed the course of this world. And we let the world kind of dictate how we were going to order our lives. We followed the, as Paul would say it, the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. We were following that. That's what we were doing. I think this week, Tom Berlin was talking about people who were in recovery and they had faced addictions in their lives and things like that. And there was a time when they were, following the things of this world, and they were entrenched in that, and they couldn't get out of that. So that's how Paul describes the situation. He says that's how you were, but Paul goes on to say that's no longer the case. That's not how it is anymore. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he had for us, even when we were dead for our trespasses, even when we were dead, he made us alive in Christ. He says, by grace you have been saved. And I think that's such an important point here that Paul makes, and Wesley would call that prevenient grace. That is prevenient grace, that grace that made us alive because we couldn't do it on our own. You know, that's why Paul goes on to say, you know, this is something that is not of your own doing. It's a gift from God, not a result of the work that you do. It's not results of your works. So no one can boast about it. It's a gift from God. I was watching, we had to watch a movie yesterday. Now, you know, what kind of school are you going to get to watch a movie? I mean, you know, but that's what we did. We watched this movie on John Wesley. It was really a pretty good movie about the beginning of his life and ministry and things like that. And he started preaching around 1729. He began preaching at the Anglican churches there in England in the pulpit and things like that. But he was preaching a sense of this works, that you have to do these things. You know, these works should dictate your lives. And he was really getting on to people about that. And he left and actually went to Savannah, Georgia, to convert the Indians there and the people who were there to help them find Christ and things like that. And as he was there, there was some people from a different faith tradition that asked Wesley, they said, do you know that you're saved, John? And he says, yes, I know that. And they go, you don't act like it. You act like you don't sense that. You act like you're striving by doing all these things, following the law to the exact in order to be saved. And they go, do you realize, John, that you're saved? And he says, yeah. But they knew that he didn't have that sense in his heart. And deep down, he knew that. He knew that. And it wasn't until 1738, when his heart was strangely warmed at the Aldersgate experience, that he realized that. And it transformed him. And he was still preaching and doing some of the same things that he was asking people to do. But it was completely different, even though it was the same thing. There was John Wesley before this experience and John Wesley after this experience. And that heart-changing moment is what changed him. And that's grace. That's God's grace. That is changing your heart. And it's no longer works to do something in order to be saved. Paul says here that the reason this happens is that we were created to do Christ's good works that God prepared beforehand. And he says that's to be your way of life. So it's not doing these things in order to gain salvation. You do these things because you have salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's why you do these things. There's a big difference, you know. And Wesley didn't get that initially. So that's something that I really want to point out here today is that, you know, God's grace is at work in our lives early on, you know, from birth. God's grace is active in our lives. And he's working towards that day of transformation. That's what he desires to happen. And as you see in those videos that you watched today, talking about people who are in addiction, and they know what salvation is because they were in the depths of hell, if you were, and they were brought out of that. But they also know that they can't go back there. They may be even desire at times to go back there, but they know that that's death. If they go back to that, that is death. I used to smoke when I started smoking when I was 17, and I smoked for 10 years. I tried to quit in there several times, and I go back to it because it's an addiction, right? But I finally stopped, and I finally got through that haze and through that and out the other side. I still, from time to time, say, boy, it'd be nice to have a cigarette. No, it wouldn't be nice. I tell myself, wait a minute now. That wouldn't be nice because that's death. That's what that is. You don't want to go back to that. And so I think sometimes Paul speaks of this in the past tense, like that's how you used to be. But let's be honest here a little bit. Sometimes we're drawn back into the ways of the world. That's how it is. We're drawn back into that. And we can ease our way back into that very easily. We can pick it up like we hadn't lost a step, you know. It happens that fast, and we know what happens that fast. So we have to be careful there that we don't give in to those temptations. And those folks who had hit that bottom and come out of that are keenly aware of that. And they know they can't even think about going back there or dabbling in that because it's destructive. And we see that around us in various ways, the destruction that can happen. The children here were singing about Zacchaeus, you know, and that's kind of a good story about God's timing and things like that, where Zacchaeus really wanted to see Jesus that day, and Jesus was there on his time, using that timing, and he went to Zacchaeus' house and said, "Today salvation has entered your house," you know. So stories like that are stories of prevenient grace. The prodigal son, a story of prevenient grace in a way, right? That the prodigal son goes off, but then he realizes and comes back. And that's a good image. But I think Paul's image here is even better than those two images. Because this one, to me, says that God is out there searching for you. The prodigal son, he's not waiting for somebody to come back. He's out there. He's out there in your lives. He's searching for you today in your life. He's out there. He wants to draw you back. He wants to draw those who are not part of the kingdom of God back. He's doing that actively out there right now. So I think that's something that we have to understand, that God's grace is active and at work in this world and in people's lives before they even know it. And I think you've probably all experienced things like that. Think of times in your life where you feel God isn't present, and then you feel that he is present. You realize he was present the whole time. There was just something that was prohibiting us from feeling that or sensing that. I would call that sin. But it happens like that, and we realize that God is present there, and he's leading us out of things like that. He makes a point here in this book on page 49. I'm just going to kind of read this because this is absolutely critical stuff right here on page 49. He talks about theologian Randy Maddox. Randy Maddox wrote a wonderful book on Wesleyan theology, and he points out that John Wesley's view of grace is helpful. He says, Wesley takes the Western view of salvation as a single transaction, right? That's that justification thing, right? He takes that and yokes it with the Eastern view that grace restores and renews us over time. That statement there is absolutely critical, and that's something that Wesley was found foundational, because he did take those two things. The Western tradition, the tradition of the Reformation that came out of the Catholic Church, had that kind of like law court, kind of like going to court kind of thing associated with it. And you go before the judge and you're justified. It's kind of like a legal transaction. You go from the debit side over to the credit side and everything's good. Wesley said that's true, but that's only part of it. The Eastern Church, which we don't hear much about or read much about, had a much richer understanding of that transaction. And that transaction was an ongoing transaction of renewal and transformation. And we've missed out on that. And I think the danger of missing out on that is that we can easily get tempted to back into the old way of life. Because, hey, the transaction's been made. I went from this side of the account to this side of the account, and everything's great. Well, you know, Wesley would say, you can go back to the other side of the account. That's what he would say. And I think he's right about that. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a reason for that fear and trembling. Because you can just say, well, it's all okay and it's all good, and I can go do this or that and dabble in these things. And you do that, and you're going to find yourself in a living hell, is what it's going to boil down to. It's not good. Doesn't mean that you can't be saved and any of that, but just be careful. And that's what Wesley is saying. Wesley is saying, be transformed by that. Move away from those things. Realize the death that you were wrapped up in. What does he call them? Children of wrath. You know, Wesley, that's some fire and brimstone there. You're children of wrath. But that's true. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says, that we are children of wrath and we need salvation. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And that's what this section this week talked about. It goes in conjunction with last week. We are dead to our sins. We can't do anything about it. But God's grace lifts us up to where we can receive salvation. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And not that we do works to be saved, but we do those works because that's what we were created for. We were created for that. So people say, what is God's will for my life? The will for your life is to do the works that Christ had for you beforehand. He has things lined up for you. That's the will of your life, to do the work of Jesus Christ in the world. That's it. It varies from person to person what that's going to look like, but that's it. That's the will of God. To do the things that he said he was going to do beforehand, before all this, he has things lined up for you to do. And he's asking you to do them. And in a sense, he's there with you saying, come on, let's get with the program here. There's things to do. So I think we know that. And I think we know we live in a time where this nominal Christianity is not going to cut it anymore. It's just not going to cut it. I know I harp on that a lot. I get on that. But it's simply not going to cut it because I see too many messes out there. There's just too many. And it is needless because we have that power of the Holy Spirit to transform us. And we don't have to go back to that. And there's nothing to fear. You know, sometimes we fear going forward and we want to go back because that's where we're comfortable. But that comfort in many ways is death. Going forward is life, and that's what God calls us to. Like that fork in the road, and what is it? Deuteronomy. Choose life or choose death. That's what God's saying. You have a choice here. Choose life. That's a good choice. That's what you want to choose. So that's what I really wanted to emphasize this week, and I think that's what he tries to get across this week is the importance of prevenient grace, that God is there already in your life. You may not think so, but he's there. And he's wanting you to be transformed and understand what that means. And it doesn't matter if you've been in church for, 57 years or whatever. I think we all need that little reality check from time to time. I need that reality check from time to time. Like, I need to get with the program. I'm just like everybody else. I can kind of, I can get complacent and just kind of chill out. And maybe that's why my recliner lit on fire last week, because God's saying, what are you doing here? Come on. Let's get with the program a little bit. Just a subtle way, of reminding me there's things to do. So I encourage you to do that. And you'll find your life is much more vibrant and alive. So I encourage you to do that. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.